This is Pure Decking for June 13th, 2013. This is a show about stuff that interests me. I'm Morps, and tonight we have the Madman, the RU-486, and one of the Sards.
One of the...
That's right.
We don't know if this is the real one or not. It might be the evil robot, or the one with the goatee. I'm not sure which.
Bays are belong to me.
Oh, is the horn-deviled one we have tonight, then?
So I have got a glass of my probably the last batch I'm going to do in the Mr. Beer homebrew, just because I think the plastic in that thing is getting a bit infused and I'm a little leery about using it again, but it came out quite good.
Are you upgrading to like a 5 gallon jug or something now?
Yeah, I'm probably going to get into the real homebrewing.
Cool.
But because I did a gallon batch of the all grain, and it was a comical mess, but the beer actually came out pretty good. So I certainly understand why people do that one in a 5 gallon batch, because it's just kind of like, oh wow. But so what do you got, Sard?
Rum and Coke like normal.
Cool. Madman, what are you drinking?
I've got a Burning River. It's a pale ale by the Great Lakes Brewing Company. I would suggest if you're going to drink a beer, drink their beer. All of their varieties are awesome.
Awesome.
So you're now sponsored by them, Madman.
If they start sending me free beer, yes. I'm a cheap person to get an endorsement from. Just send me free good beer.
Are you? What do you got? Coffee?
Because we're running a bit late tonight, I finished my coffee and I'm just all about the shakes right about now.
Okay. So, just a little bit. You know, we've gone back and forth on the show about trying to be less depressing, but after all this NSA bullshit and everything else going on, I just kind of decided, fuck it. The world's a dark and depressing place. We're all fucked. Go ahead and put on the tight girl pants, dye your hair black, and start cutting, because I'm not pulling punches.
Nice one.
By the way, thank you to Madman for enhancing my joke after I told him the original version of it.
You're welcome. Anything to make the world less dark through humor.
I've actually got my aluminum foil hat on tonight.
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea, because the NSA is actually watching you poop.
He truly is prepared tonight.
Oops, got a hole in it. They're reading my thoughts.
Quick, duct tape it to your head.
That's why you do multiple layers of aluminum foil.
Yeah, I'm slowly figuring out that I haven't been paranoid for the last 8 years.
No.
You're not actually paranoid. Everyone really is spying on you.
You are paranoid, it's just you're paranoid and people are spying on you.
So in other words, you're paranoid, but you're not wrong.
Correct. So that means I get to take a green pill now as well, to say that I'm correct, with a little smiley face.
So there has been so much bullshit. I had a hell of a time finding stories for Decking tonight, because all of my regular news sources are just choked with NSA this and... You know, the NSA is reading your email. The NSA is watching your network traffic. The NSA has your phone calls. The NSA put a camera in your toilet. I mean, it's just like, that's nothing but. So
also too, Morps, the Microsoft Kinects and the evil with that as well. Like this week.
Yeah. There's certainly a tie in there, because they do have connections to Microsoft. So. What I thought I would try to do is try to sift through some of this bullshit and get as close to what they're actually doing as we can. And because I kind of know how this stuff works, because I do it professionally, I feel like I can actually explain some of this stuff a little bit. So I went on and they put out this fact sheet, which was interesting reading, by the way. And I pulled a couple of their more useful points off their fact sheet. This is actually put out by the government, by the NSA, talking about they're trying to do damage control on the leak, right? So I pulled some of the more fun ones off the list here. The program does not allow the government. Now, this is talking about PRISM specifically, I believe. The program does not allow the government to listen in on anyone's phone calls. The information acquired does not include the content of any communications or the identity of any subscriber. Only the type of information acquired under the court's order is telephone metadata, such as numbers dialed and length of calls. So they don't know the identity of a subscriber, but they know your phone number, so all they have to do is go look it up.
Well, also, I heard that they're also collecting GPS data, if it's available, also.
Well,
at least you know where the call was placed, so you know which cell phone tower it came in on, or went out on, rather. And, you can get a basic location.
Actually, if you have enough cell phone towers around where you are, like if you're in a major city,
right? Yeah,
I would bet they're probably getting the triangulation down to like within feet.
Yeah,
it's probably just as good as the GPS. So, but you're right; they're getting that as well. They're probably getting everything they possibly can. But I just thought that was funny because it's like, oh, we don't actually have the phone calls, but we have enough information to really make good inferences about them. So, there's that. Another one. By order of the FISA, the government is prohibited from indiscriminately sifting through the telephone metadata acquired under the program. All information that is acquired under this program is subject to strict court-imposed restrictions on review and handling. The court only allows the data to be queried when there is a reasonable suspicion based on specific facts that the particular basis for the query is associated with a foreign terrorist organization. Only specially cleared counterterrorism personnel specifically trained in the court-approved procedures may even access the records. So, apparently, if you go to the training program and sign a little thing saying, I'm not a jerk, they you know, you have
your
to...
2 hours of training, now you're certified.
Did you watch the PowerPoint presentation?
Yeah.
Did you get your rubber stamp, so you've been to the PowerPoint presentation then? I mean, that's what it is.
Well, that...
Especially trained my ass. They went to a half-hour meeting or something.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously.
What do you think they're actually waiting, I don't know, for the court order? I saw a lot of things people were thinking that they could just query it willy-nilly whenever they wanted.
They probably do. They probably have things like, hey, I wonder who Jessica Alba is calling this week or something. I mean, you know. But
wasn't it, didn't they ask the court like over 270 times for approval to do stuff, and not once were they denied? And
that would be correct.
Just green lights everything.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, we can say no? I mean, yeah, so what they're doing, I do think there's some truth to this, that they're not just, you know, willy-nilly playing with it. Yeah, they're probably checking out celebrities and you know, their friends, and, you know, they're probably doing political favors of like, yep, we saw this congressperson was talking to this, and this group, but because really, phone numbers are not hard to correlate to people. They're really not. So the whole, oh, it's we don't have your subscriber information, well, that's because you don't fucking need it.
See, I think the funny part about this, Morps, and no one seems to be looking at it from this point of view, is that we have, well, reasonable stable government at the moment, and it's only been the last 50 years that government has really been stable, to where there's been no war, major war or dissent or anything like that. So what happens 20 years down the track when all this data has been collected and stuff like that? And there's a big shift, and it's a massive right-wing government, and suddenly, Christianity is now the major... You cannot have any other law bar Christianity and blah, blah, blah. Or some change. Well, they go back 20 years. Well, sorry, Bob, it looks like you were involved in some political movement back in the day. You made a phone call on this date at that time to so-and-so. Yeah, re-education camp. It's not
that's actually...
tomorrow. It's 20 years from now, if you know what I mean.
There's precedent for that, actually. Your scenario sounds a little outlandish, but 20 years from now, who knows? I know what you mean, though. There's actually precedent for that if you go back and look at what happened with the Red Scare.
Yeah.
So
that was
the
50s.
You know, it's not like they haven't done that before. But I just, again, I find this hilarious that
people aren't thinking long term.
I do think they're not just going through it willy nilly just because the damn thing's so big that it's probably not practical to go through the thing all the time. But let's see. Yeah. Where is the next one here? All information that is acquired under this order is subject to strict restrictions on handling and is overseen by the Department of Justice and the FISA court, because they've proven to be so trustworthy. Only a very small fraction of the records are ever reviewed, because the vast majority of the data is not responsive to any terrorist-related query. In other words, they're sucking in a bunch of shit that has nothing to do with it, so why are they keeping it?
And that's
safety.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sword.
I was just going to say that's the main complaint that I've heard is, you know, you're spying on innocent Americans that have absolutely no prior ties or anything like that to anything malicious. And
but it's probably not just Americans. How many foreign telephone exchanges probably get routed through the states just because we have the infrastructure?
Well, yeah, but no one cares about foreigners. About America.
I mean, this whole thing's a mess, right? I've had such a hell of a time sorting through all this stuff. I mean, it's been soul crushing. and the final bullet point they had was that pretty much the authority they have to do this comes from the Patriot Act, which has been law for 12 years now. So. You know, why is everybody so surprised?
Exactly. That's the other thing that's ridiculous about this. I remember there was, we might have even covered it on Pure Decking back, I don't know. This shouldn't come to as surprise as everyone. There's been people complaining about the Patriot Act since day one, and no one paid attention to it. But now, they're recording my cell phone calls. Now I'm going to get pissed.
Okay. Yeah, but look how pissed these all are.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't see any riots in the street.
Yeah,
that's because everybody's so stunned true. They don't know what to do. I mean, I don't think Americans actually know how to riot anymore. The closest we got was some of the whether you want to count the Tea Party groups or Occupy, and neither one of them was really riots, and we're just kind of sitting there yelling.
Really, yeah, the Obama government to me, as a foreigner. One of those dirty foreigners that you Americans don't seem to like, really pissed me off when they go, well, no, look, the spying doesn't actually, we're not spying on Americans. It's just the rest of the world. How the fuck do you think that makes us feel? What? We're meant to be an ally and you're getting my metadata and anything stored in the cloud. Well, you're a foreigner. We get to keep all your information and filter you. Dude, it's a massive invasion of trust from another sovereign nation on another sovereign nation, and especially an ally. I haven't heard anything from my government going, well, hang on a minute, all those medical records you've got, no, you can't use them, or anything like that. It's what gives you guys the right to go through all my private stuff? I'm not even in your country. I'm not a threat to your country.
That's actually the scary part, is that a lot of people in government are saying, oh no, it's legal, everything we're doing is fine, a court approved it and we've got these laws to back us up. That's
not
kind
my courts
of the problem, isn't it?
Well, your courts don't have jurisdiction in the U.S. I mean, I'll say it's crappy to spy on an ally. Up until World War II, England was planning all their war games around defeating America. That's one reason Germany was able to catch them with their pants down. They were planning to attack us. And England, with the exception of the War of 1812 and the American Revolutionary War, has been our closest trading partner since the inception of our country and our closest friend.
And I think
so planning
I think Australians have jumped in boots and all in every war you've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I would consider Australia an ally. Why is my shit being targeted?
Target like, everyone.
I don't get
you
it,
You don't
man.
Have... There isn't a reason to exclude Australia. I wouldn't focus on it. Honestly, if they had resources devoted to spying on people, I think it should be devoted to the Middle East and countries that have threatened to attack us.
That's what I would have thought. And I mean, the arrogance of the administration to stand up and just go, no, no, we're just doing it to the rest of the world. Americans are safe from our spying eyes. Just the rest of the world we're going to look at and treat as criminals.
Yeah, this coming from the most open administration in history, if you believe campaign rhetoric. So, again,
you're not doing much to win the hearts and minds of the rest of the world on this liberal democracy you have.
Hmm.
It's starting to look more like it's not a police state yet. It's still got
some... But you can see it from here.
It's got some of the old Republican paint, you know, Republic paint left on it. It's a little bit dented. You know, buff that out.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
What do you guys think of the dude that released the information and how he's been trialed in the media?
Yeah, I don't know, because it's such a mess. I mean, what the guy did with confirm. I'm not actually that happy that the thing was released the way it was.
No, I don't think he should have done it either.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been able to do it through official channels or anything that would be appropriate. The only way to release that is in an inappropriate way.
No, I agree.
Because he's under orders not to do it.
Well, I can explain that. I kind of wanted to go over Prism, at least what I was able to dig up off it. And I've got links to where I'm pulling my data, so if something's wrong, you can go yell at them. But the part I liked was that Prism apparently is 6 years old.
They've
been doing, I mean, Obama apparently, you know, started this and has been doing it his entire time. Or, well, maybe it's maybe tail end of Bush. I'm not sure the exact dates. They just say 6 years. So, yeah, I guess that would be tail end of Bush. But
that's
still, I mean.
His entire first administration to shut it down.
Yeah. But anyways, what they're collecting with Prism is internet search history, emails, file transfers, and live chats from Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Facebook, PalTalk, YouTube, Skype, AOL, Apple, and possibly Dropbox. And they're very likely also getting all the ISPs to turn over TCP logs similar to the phone records. You know, they're not doing the full packet capture, just what address talked to who for how and how much data was exchanged. So, yeah, I mean, none of this is new. And again, you know, they're pretty much in everything. And part of the bitch of it was that the court orders, you know, demanding these companies turn over the data also put gags on them. Like, if they talked about it, the people who talked about it could be brought up on the same charges they're going to go after the guy who leaked the data on. Because he didn't work for the government. He worked for a contractor.
What are you doing contracting such high security, sensitive information? Why are you private contracting that? You think that would be an in-house thing, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
to me, I'd just go in-house just for that reason.
Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but I know in like a lot of military bases, CIA and stuff like that, like civilians outnumber the number of military people by like tenfold or something. Everything's contracted out now.
I think the mandatory gag orders are what's really pushing it over the top.
Yeah, no, I there's no part of this I like, but that's just, you know, rubbing salt in it.
Well, and it's just the entire bill, the Patriot Act, is just riddled with that kind of crap. If you do something slightly suspicious in a money transfer now, whoever's doing the transfer for you is supposed to log all that crap and then put you off on a government watch base and not tell anyone that they did it.
Yeah, I mean, this is it's a mess. But from I can speak to a technical aspect of a lot of this because I do something similar in my job. But the thing is, we don't make a secret of it. We, you know, anybody who asks, we fully explain it. I have several systems that run that watch our network connections on our internet, and I actually do take full packet capture. I only keep them for about an hour. It's actually rotating out, so if I don't decide something's worth keeping within that hour, it's gone. And I mean, yeah, that doesn't mean something couldn't be pulled down and kept, but you know, when we keep the connection logs, and as somebody who does this kind of analysis, I can tell you, just the metadata alone, even without that full packet capture that I take, is insanely useful. I can probably tell you exactly what you were doing from that packet, from just the connection logs, without ever seeing the packet, without touching your machine.
Well, the difference between you doing it and the government doing it is you're in a company offering a service. People agree to do business with you. We can't agree to do business with our government. I'm forced to deal with them. I can't say, well, I don't like you, so I'm just not going to deal with you. It's, I don't like you, so I go to prison.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But I can tell you from a technical aspect, what they're doing is massive. There's no way to process that kind of data in any kind of a human fashion. So any processing they're doing is manual, or is not manual, is automated. And so I don't know that this is going to make you feel any better about it, but I guarantee what they're doing is they've got a collection of rules. You know, if the packet is, if something is from this flagged address to anywhere, you know, of course it gets looked at. If it's got X number of keywords, it gets looked at. You know, and by looked at as in, you know, it raises a flag and somebody actually, you know, goes over and checks the log. But does that mean, you know, are they sitting there scanning the connection looking to see what porn you're going to look at? Probably not. They've probably got it logged, though.
That way they can use it to embarrass you at the trial.
They could if somebody ever bothers to go look. That's the thing. Somebody has to still bother to go look. So you still have to kind of give them a reason to go looking.
There's a little thing. Well, there's a thing here. Hardcore pornography is legal in this country, yet it's quite easy to get on the internet. And there are quite a few military personnel at the moment in a hell of a lot of trouble for emailing hardcore pornography, even though it's just the average crap you'd see on the internet every day, like on the chan or something. This is what they could use it for, man. It's those minor little crimes, you know, to tack on to make it bigger and worse by the end of it. So you might only get 5 years for whatever, but then they've tacked on, well, you looked at that, you read this, and that was illegal as well.
Oh, absolutely. So you're not wrong at all.
Yeah, so this is my thing. Like, when I got in trouble once with the law, they went back 15 years in my history and dragged through everything. Well, he's a systemic abuser of blah 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 blah, you know. And then that got my I got off, but it didn't help, you know. Yeah. What I mean,
that are, yeah, they, no, using it to sandbag charges just so people take a plea.
Yeah, there's another danger of it.
But I, you know, I, like I was trying to say a minute ago, I'm really not happy with the... Hi, Fox. If you're going to hop in on here, you better tell us what you're drinking.
Well, I just got back from the bar, so I've had some Six Shooter Espresso Stout and an Irish Red so far, 24 ounces of each of those. And I'm currently thinking about going over to my liquor cabinet and finding more to drink, which would probably entail Johnny Walker Black.
Outstanding. Yeah, I've been hitting the Johnny Walker myself a little bit here lately, like a lot. Anyways,
if we're gonna go on a liquor tangent, I got to try Lafroig Scotch the other night, and Dat Smoke. It was some tasty, tasty shit.
Very nice, very nice. So, anyways, but I mean, I'm you know, back on the NSA looking up your butthole thing. I'm really not happy with the way this was disclosed. I mean, it leaked. And it's not, it's surprising to me it hasn't linked before now, because it's been going on for as long as it has.
Well, like, but the whole NSA thing, it's been going on for quite some time. I mean, come on, you read the Patriot Act, and it's right fucking there, but for some reason now people are finally pulling their head out of their ass and looking at it. Like, I'm actually, for one, glad that it's in the media, because it's raising the general populace's awareness of, yeah, this shit's been going on for, you know, 10 years now. You should probably have been fucking paying attention since then, but since you're just now tuning in, this is why this is fucked.
Well, okay. Now that this is out there and confirmed, how many groups, for lack of a better word, are going to start trying to make grabs for this data? I mean, yeah, the NSA servers are probably going to be rough to get into, but what about the ISPs or cell phone companies that are now forced to collect this crap and just hoard it for the government? You know, most of these ISPs don't have proper security in place. I mean, it's expensive for one, but, you know, and they probably don't want to be doing this in the first place. So they're probably not paying any more attention to this shit than they have to. So, I mean, this is going to be a juicy target for, anons, foreign actors, anybody, hell.
Definitely. I mean, you look at a company that's supposed to have your data secured, cough, Sony, and they got their shit rolled pretty hard.
Yeah, so now, I mean, not only that, but how many revenge actions are you going to see now? It's like, you know, oh, well, you were spying on us? Well, fuck, look what we can do to you. I mean, this is... They shouldn't have been doing the damn shit in the first place. Don't misunderstand. It would have been better if they had at least, you know, if they at least shut the program down after the leaks came to light. It's still going right fucking now. That's a I don't think anybody realizes that. The way everybody's talking about it, like, oh, this is terrible. This shouldn't have been happening.
So do you think that, like, on any of our given shows, we should enact, like, an NSA drinking game? Like, anytime somebody goes, Allahu Akbar, blah, or like mentions terrorist or explosion, like, they have to take a shot for certain keywords. And, you know, if they actually hear a full out, like, Allahu Akbar, they have to chug the entire bottle.
The thing is, they just don't need to spy us.
Let's face it, with the keywords that we throw out all the time, they already are. They're listening right now. They're probably one of the, like, repeat listeners we get on the stream. So we might as well make it interesting for the poor, like, bastard that has to listen to us. I mean, you know, better than listening to the, you know, chat roulette conversations, or, you know, listening to some 14-year-old, you know, whinge on about their Call of Duty problems. But, you know, we can at least take it up a notch and make it fun and productive. Like, we can have the NSA agents begging to listen to the IHN show, because they get to play the IHN NSA drinking game. Like, anytime we say terrorist, you know, subterfuge, the president, nigger, and, you know, any of those combinations, where they have to take X amount of shots. And if we get, like, a certain keyword going, you know, they start chugging for, like, a good 30 seconds.
I don't know. I don't want to be responsible for the alcohol poisoning of some of these guys.
Yeah.
Then we can get hit with murder charges.
Hey, no one was forcing them to drink that alcohol.
Yeah.
It is part of the game.
So, I'm going to go ahead and move on to current events, but you wouldn't know it for the first two stories I've got.
They are current events, aren't they?
Yeah, pretty much. This first one's from the New York Times blog. Google has offered a few more details about how it shares user data with the government. Apparently, what they do is, when Google is legally required to hand data over about its users, it usually delivers it using secure FTP. David Drummond, Google's chief legal officer, said in an interview on British television. They explain FTP. Either party can operate the FTP server that files flow through. In an interview, Mr. Drummond indicated the FTP server is on the government's machines and not on Google's. We deliver it to them. We push it out to them, he said, speaking from Amsterdam. They don't access it through any of our machines at Google. So, I don't even need to finish the rest of the article. Google is saying, no, we didn't let them into our network. We're giving it to them to keep them out of our network. So at least they didn't let them backdoor the thing. And I imagine that practice is similar at several of the other data companies. Go ahead, Artie.
Yeah. For some reason, man, when he was talking about that, all he could picture was, no, dude, you can't hang on to my phone in case you look at something I don't want you to. But what I'll do, I'll nail it to the wall, and you can look at it from there. How's that?
Actually, that's fairly similar. Yeah.
What I think it's hilarious is he went to the BBC to say that instead of, I don't know, CNN or Fox.
He probably couldn't get one of them to carry it. They're probably under gag orders, too. Fuck.
They're too busy making aspersions about how the guy looks. If someone called him a snake, he's been called a ferret, a few other animals. It's amazing.
I don't care if he's a ferret. He's also somewhat of a patriot. Patriotic little animal.
Captain America, well, the ferret. Okay, then.
That's been argued quite a lot, too. Is he a patriot or a traitor?
Well, it's like you say, like, you know, treason is giving national secrets away to the enemy. Well, okay, so he gave secrets away to the American public. Therefore, is the American public the enemy?
Apparently so, because they're calling him a traitor.
Yep. He's standing up for the ideals of America, if not for the administration. And
but didn't the,
I
wasn't
think
it the administration that said, if you see something, say something?
Oh,
wasn't
that's
this
only
their
if you
tagline?
See, that's only if you see something about the Tea Party or any of their political rivals. That's not if you see something about the government.
Instructions run clear. My penis got stuck in a ceiling fan.
God. Hey, we made it 30 minutes in before we had a dick joke.
That's pretty good for this network.
That must be a record.
Yeah, we're falling behind here.
Take another shot, Morps. It eases the pain.
I just finished the beer.
All those in the NSA playing the home game, go ahead and take a shot along with us.
Next story up is from SunSentinel.com. One, and by the way, you can back me up on this. On the day, the day we were all hearing about this, is this not exactly what I called was going to happen?
Yep.
One South Florida man accused in a series of bank robbery attempts is hoping the recent revelation that the federal government is secretly keeping millions of U.S. phone records could help his defense. Terrace Brown, 40, is one of five men on trial in federal court in Fort Lauderdale on charges they conspired to hold up armored trucks making cash deliveries to banks in Myanmar and Lighthouse Point in 2010. They have all pleaded not guilty. Another man, alleged co-conspirator Nathaniel Moss, 34, is serving a life sentence in federal prison after admitting he shot and killed Brinks truck guard Alejandro Nadsar?
Just call him Alejandro.
Yeah, that guy. We're just going to call him Alejandro, who was 48 on the final heist of October the 1st, 2010, outside Bank of America. The FBI and federal prosecutors are using cell phone records in court to try to prove that the five accused men were all nearby when the robbery attempts and planning occurred, as Moss, who is cooperating with the U.S. Attorney's Office, testified. The prosecution had told defense attorneys they were unable to obtain Brown's cell phone records from the period between before September 2010 because his carrier, Metro PCS, had not held on to them. So not so fast, Brown's attorney, Marshall Dor Lewis, argued in court documents filed in Fort Lauderdale days after the NSA security surveillance program was revealed last week. Edward Snowden, going on about the NSA leak. Essentially, what's going on here is this guy's trying to say, oh no, I wasn't there, I'm not involved. And they couldn't prove it because their cell phone records were only kept back to a certain point in 2010, so they want to get his cell phone records from the NSA so he can try to prove he's innocent. I think it was his lawyer said, if the government is spying on our phone calls, then it can't claim in the same breath that it won't provide those calls when it helps the defense. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Oh, gee. That's retarded, dude. All that proves is that his cell phone wasn't there.
But that's what they're using to say that they colluded. Their cell phones were all together, but they can't find this guy's cell phone because his carrier doesn't have the information.
Well, for fuck's sake, like, on the same grounds, you could put anyone at that bank being robbed at the time as part of the collusion. Like, oh, your cell phone GPS signal says you were at that bank that day. How do I know you're not a robber?
It's the weeks heading up to it that they're saying they planned it. and then everyone that was there at the same time as the robbers. I think this is a good legal strategy. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's crappy that they're keeping these records, and if the fucker's guilty, it's going to suck that they're using this legal maneuver to get him off. But the government has the records, and they're going to argue that they have to disclose them to the defense. Although it's the federal government, so I don't know that they disclosed them to the prosecution. They might not have an argument on it.
I don't know. It's a publicity stunt, is what it is. But I just wanted to do this story because, I mean, like the day after we find out about all this NSA crap, you guys will back me up. I was in TeamSpeak saying, well, this is what's going to happen.
I think I made the statement that by at least Friday, you'll see some move towards going to war with Syria over the chemical weapons move thing.
That's true.
And look what happens Thursday. If you haven't seen the administration has come out and confirmed that there's they've crossed the red line now and they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, and I think it's funny of all the people that are emailing the NSA, like, hey, man, I remember back like a couple years ago, I was watching this really awesome porn video, but I cleared my browser history after and I can't find it again. Could you go back through my records and like email me that link? It probably would have been like between such and such a date in 2010. That would be awesome. Sincerely yours, Anon.
That's really, you know, if you could do all those Freedom of Information Act requests for shit like that and just flood them with it, I mean, at least it would scare them away from trying that shit again. I mean,
that's what a certain site that predominantly features a four-leaf clover has been doing lately.
Oh, I'm going to have to get in on that.
What a Freedom of Information Act request to make.
Well, why not, you know? So, anyways, next one up is from the H Online, and my cat is walking on the mixer. That's not good.
Oh, that could have been awesome, though.
Why? In case this thing came on?
Or, like, other random sound effects just, randomly? Yeah. Random sound effects.
Anyways, so from the H Online, the Open Web Application Security Project, OWASP, has published its top 10 most critical web application security risks, updating its list from 2010. The organization notes that threats from both cross-site scripting and cross-site request forgery attacks went down in importance, and problems with broken authentication and session management procedures moved up into the second spot. Meanwhile, code injections have remained the top place on the list. So, for anybody not in the security scene, OWASP keeps a list of what they consider the worst problems they're seeing in web applications. And they've updated their list. And so, of course, number one is code injection. That's shit like you can go in a search form and punch in SQL and talk to their database. Broken authentication, session management. That's basically the system doesn't correctly handle password authentication, so you can do shit like in the URL or using a proxy with the cookies or even just clone cookies and get in without having to have a valid password. Cross-site scripting is, that was number two, now it's number three. Cross-site scripting is where it's not going to affect the server, but like if I go in a forum and make a post, like maybe putting an iframe in my post, the 1 pixel by 1 pixel iframe, the server shouldn't let me do that because I could use that to spread malware by anybody who goes and looks at that post, but it does. That's actually where a lot of malware comes from in the advertising world, as they hide this shit in banner ads and it kind of shows up. Insecure direct object references, code calling other code where you can fuck with it in the URL, security misconfiguration, well, that covers a lot of things, sensitive data exposure, that is, again, where you can get the web application to show you things that it shouldn't, missing function-level access control, that's what your router does where it uses JavaScript to hide the admin options when you're not logged in, cross-site request forgery, that one's fun, that's where you use cross-site scripting to and you assume somebody else is signed in, like, as an example, let's say you're looking at a forum and I've posted a cross-site request forgery, assuming you're also signed in to, say, your Gmail account. Well, their cross-site request forgery, if it worked, could send an email by making your browser make a call to the Gmail app. I'm not sure I explained that very well. It takes advantage of the fact that people keep multiple tabs open. So if you're signed into your email account, you hit a site with a cross-site request forgery, it could make your account send messages or sign up for things or delete things. Or if you're signed into your bank, do money transfers, that kind of thing. Using known variable component or vulnerable components, that's bad libraries. Unvalidated redirects and forwards. That would be you if easiest way to explain that is if there's a URL that somebody. You get pumped. What'd you say, Madman?
That's like Rickrolling somebody.
yeah, that could be like Rickrolling. Usually, it's more along the lines of the admin interface has a URL and doesn't actually do any checking, and so if you know what URL to go to, you don't actually have to log in, that kind of thing. So these are design level problems. These aren't, you know, Rickrolling. That'd be a good use for a lot of these things. Just send people to a Rickroll. So, yeah, those are all very common problems with web applications. If you know how to test those things, you can give people a bad time. So, next story up is from Ars Technica, a Chinese supercomputer known as Tihante 2. Or Tihane? T-I-A-N-H-E-2. We're going to call it the TIT. The TIT 2 has been measured at speeds of 30.65 petaflops, or 74% faster than the current holder of the world's fastest supercomputer title. The speed is remarkable partly because the Intel-based TIT-2, also known as the Milky Way 2, wasn't even running at full capacity during testing. A 5-hour LINPACK test using 14,336 out of 16,000 computer nodes, or 90% of the machine, clocked in at the aforementioned 30.65 petaflops. A petaflop is 1 quadrillion floating point operations per second, or a million billion. LINPACK benchmarks are used to rank the top 500 supercomputers in the world. The top 500 list current champion is Titan, a U.S. system that hit 17.59 petaflops. The TIT-2 achieved 1.935 gigaflops per watt, which is slightly less efficient than Titan's 2.143 gigaflops per watt. So, anyways, the article goes on talking about this, but, yeah, essentially it's off the shelf. At this point, all your supercomputers are pretty much off the shelf hardware where they just take a lot of processors and stack them.
That's awesome. So, yeah, what you're saying is we need to get some time on that machine and then we could encode, you know, pretty much any movie ever in the matter of seconds.
I was thinking we'd get some time on that machine and then use it to send out Freedom of Information Act requests, preferably recursively, so we can continue to troll the NSA.
Cool.
And it's like I don't want to know what porn I was looking at. I want to know what porn the guy who just asked you what porn he was looking at was looking at.
You're going to get Big Brother's porn list. I'm just going to throw that out there.
We can post that later and laugh at him for all the My Little Pony bullshit he looks at. But what I was thinking is more is if they finally put together an automated system to pull people's data and send it to them just to comply to all these requests, a request like that's just going to fuck up the system.
Right.
So, you know, you can't just keep sending them requests for certain things because eventually they'll build a system to handle it, probably called Google. But they...
They're just going to ignore the requests.
Yeah.
I like the idea that you believe they're going to address the problem of people requesting this.
Why? I like to think that they solve problems.
I like to think that they're the government.
I'd prefer to pretend that they're not. But
these are the people that still haven't digitized Veteran Affairs yet. It's 2013 and everything's still done on paper.
And nobody would be able to print without first level help desk support, so yeah. Next story up is from the Epoch Times in New York. A new bill to regulate 3D printed guns was introduced by council member Lewis Fidler on June the 12th. The bill would amend the New York Administrative Code to make it illegal to use a 3D printer to print any part of a firearm unless the person is a licensed gunsmith. A gunsmith using a 3D printer to print any part of a gun would be required to notify the New York Police Department and register it within 72 hours. Proposed revisions to the code include language ensuring 3D printing guns fall into the same regulations as other firearms. This includes clarification on systems to feed bullets, requirements for a serial number on a 3D printed gun. Really? What are you going to do? All have the same
surprise. Nobody downloads anything illegal and prints it out already.
They're CAD files. Most people are just going to feed them to the printer without... They're all going to have the same serial number. I mean, what good does that?
It's and New York, regulation. Dude. It doesn't surprise me at all. It's one of the most freaking ridiculous anti-gun state ever.
Yeah, and regulations against destroying weapons. So I guess once you've printed it, you can't throw it away. Anyways. Before any bill, a second piece of legislation was also announced on June 12th by Slate Assemblywoman Lisa Rosenthal, which would make it a felony for anyone to manufacture, sell, or use guns or ammunition magazines made with a 3D printer. So,
we have to keep track of them, but we can't make them or use them.
Pretty much. I'm just, it's not in there, but you kind of wonder if they're just assuming that's the only thing you can do with a 3D printer.
I want to make a 3D printed bomb now.
Nope.
Ow. But... Ow. I've got to get that face mask, man. I just keep face palming too hard, dude. Ow.
Well, I need, three injector nozzles? One to actually make the bomb, and then two for the binary components for the explosive?
Yeah, where are we? Take
everybody
a shot
drink.
If you're in
the take
NSA.
A shot, NSA. Shot. There you go. Actually, wait, would that consider three shots since he's, talking about, a couple of different things I want to shut down right now?
Well, we're also self-referencing the drinking game, which is yet another shot. So at this point, just call the ambulance.
Let's go 5-second chug on that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Minus that liver, guys.
All right. Next one up I have is from Trend Micro. Who says you can't teach old malware new tricks? Recently, Trend Micro reported on how ZBot, which is a variant of Zeus, had made a comeback of sorts in 2013, which was followed by media reports that it was now spreading via Facebook. Now we have spotted a new ZBot variant that can spread on its own. This particular ZBot variant arrives through a malicious PDF file disguised as a sales invoice document. If the user opens the file using Adobe Reader, it triggers an exploit which causes a pop-up window to appear. It's an error in Adobe Reader saying it's enabled and extended features that the document has been changed since it was created, and to please contact the author for the original version of the document. In other words, it's triggering one of the executable functions of PDFs that Adobe's tried to disable. While this is going on, the malicious ZBot variant, called wormzbot.gj, is dropped into the system and ran. It is here that several differences start to appear. First of all, the wormzbot.gj has an auto-update routine. It can download and run an updated copy of itself. Secondly, it can spread onto other systems via removable drives like USB drives. It does this by searching for removable drives and creating a hidden folder with a copy of itself in the folder and a shortcut and pointing to it. So it drops itself on all your flash drives, hoping whatever machine you plug it into is going to see it and run it. Yeah, okay.
I
thought you guys would... But,
yeah.
Dude, it's the horror and the cringe knowing all the people that walk into our place of employment and I found this in the parking lot. Plug in.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's obvious that the majority of malware attacks nowadays come from people having to open something that is unfamiliar to them, or being tricked into opening something that they obviously normally wouldn't type thing. So it's, I don't know, like, how do we fix that? Is it just purely education, or, you know, how?
I would recommend hot glue in the USB ports at this point.
Well, yeah, that solves, like, the, it spreading via USB stick, but like you said, what about the PDF? You know, the only way you can fix that, as far as I know, is education. Hey, if you didn't order something, and someone's sending you an invoice for something, and it's going into your bulk, or your spam email, you probably don't want to open it. Actually, you really don't want to open it. You know?
I say take the NSA approach and just open their email for them, and if it's something they don't need, just delete it.
There you go. The NSA, actually, why aren't they keeping me safe? They should be deleting all the spam.
I lost all that data on that drive last month. I wonder if the NSA's got a copy and a backup of it for me.
It depends. How much of it did you send over the internet? Because I doubt they were actually in your machine.
I know. I'm just being stupid.
I've been drinking, so I'm just going to take things literally. It's also a lot later than I usually do the show, so that's probably got something to do with it, too.
I'll just go sit over here. Quiet now.
Next one up is from Ars Technica. And password crackers go green by immersing their GPUs in mineral oil. I want to point out, this is not the first time I've seen this. The first time I've seen this, the guy was cooking french fries in his oil-cooled computer. And apparently they didn't taste very good. A team of security consultants has deployed a cracking-optimized computer that's completely submerged in mineral oil. Members say the setup offers significant cost savings compared to the same machine that uses air to stay cool. The rig contains two AMD Radeon 6,990 graphics cards. AMD cards. Long considered a workhorse for password crackers. While the parallel processing in just one of these $800 cards can make as many as 9 billion password guesses each second, the performance comes at a price. GPUs run extremely hot, particularly when combined with other graphics cards, which drives the cost in keeping them cool enough to run without burning up. The dedicated fans, normally mounted to keep them cool, also generate plenty of noise. Employees of security consultancy CoreLogic recently deployed the password cracker at Midas Green Tech in Austin, Texas, and specialized in so-called immersion-cooled server hosting. Unlike other air-cooled systems CoreLogic used to test the strength of the client's password policies, the cost of hosting it is less than $60 per month compared to about $100 per month for the air-cooled systems. They dumped it in mineral oil, and mineral oil is actually fairly good at cooling machines, and it's not conductive, so you can just...
is not a first, is it?
No, it's not a first at all. No. The last time I saw somebody do it, they played Quake 3 to heat up the oil so they could cook french fries.
Nice.
But it turns out the fans, which will run a lot slower than they're rated for, are fairly good at circulating the oil around. So you just get an aquarium and dump the main board and the cards in it, and then I don't put the drives in it. I really would not recommend putting the drives in it.
No. Looks like we have a new project at the Meetup. Someone needs to bring a lot of mineral oil.
Oh god!
Can we do peanut oil if we're going to be deep frying something?
No. It's like, could you imagine? Like, we're checking into the hotel room and there's like 8 to 12 guys there, and somebody just brings in like 5 gallons of mineral oil.
Yeah, 10 dudes, 5 gallons of mineral oil
in an aquarium.
We're going to need more mineral oil.
And a video camera.
Camera. And a small pony named Clip Clop.
Oh, God.
Wow. Yeah. Gayest trip ever.
All right. It's time for this. Yo! Hadouken! Okay. Fox, you haven't heard that one before, have you?
I haven't heard the Hadouken. That's what made it for me. I heard the yo thing last time, but I remember you like getting all on like, wow, we should really try to make this show less racist. But yet here we are. You should just like just turn to the panel and have them make like racist Japanese noises.
we did
again. That used to.
No, that's why I said again. Just because there's no point.
Fox, do you want to make kung fu noises, don't you?
Hey, kung fu noises are very honorable.
Go.
We just have a bunch of people quoting potato. Full Metal Jacket eventually.
I'm glad this is your show.
We had the Full Metal Jacket thing for a while. Just gotta play the Love You Long Time again. Just throw that in there too.
Oh, where is it? I don't know where it is.
Don't encourage him while he's drinking.
That's the best time to encourage him.
Me love you long time.
All right. What I've got for Digital Dojo tonight is, this website has the creepiest damn clip art I've ever seen of something that purports to be a bypass censorship thing. There's like no anon mask. It's not green on black. It's like, looks like some art student's project, but, their scripts aren't bad. So it's called Lahana. And Lahana provides an easy, the blurb from their website, Lahana provides an easy way to connect an almost unlimited supply of VPNs in order to bypass censorship. Lahana does not promise to be more private than your current internet connection, but helps to try to bypass restrictions like filters. Lahana is based on the kindness of others and will always be free to connect to. Sure it will. it is a collection of instructions and scripts for quickly deploying Tor Bridge and OpenVPN and an Amazon EC2 machine. And the basic idea they're playing with is you get people to go on to EC2 and set up the free tier machines, build a Ubuntu box, and then run their scripts. And then go on their subreddit and post the login details to the OpenVPN node. Because what the OpenVPN node does is it pumps everything from EC2 into Tor, and I think you can turn the Tor part off if you're worried about speed. And that way you can get around, you know, web filters, proxies, shit like that, because almost everything can connect to a VPN connection these days. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
There's some good parts about this, and there's some bad parts about this. It's you know, VMs to quickly set up your VPN nodes are kind of cool. You know, it's a quick way to get things up and going, and the method can probably be adapted to other machines. I did take a glance through their scripts, and I didn't see anything that made my hair stand on end. So, I mean, it didn't look bad, except this is a security nightmare. You're responsible for whatever goes through that VPN, through the EC2 cloud, right? And Amazon's free tier is only free for a year, and that's assuming you don't go over the allotted bandwidth and CPU time. So what I'm going to recommend you do is you go on this website and you get into their subreddit. You don't set up an EC2 server for them on your own. You just get the VPN details that other people are posting and abuse as necessary. So if you need a quick way to get around a thing or a VPN to abuse, I would go there to get it. Because they're trying to get around censorship, but their method is questionable and they're going through Amazon, which means the NSA already knows about it.
Good point.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, this idea is nuts to set up. I mean, if you're going to do it, I'm going to collect myself here. If you're going to use their scripts, don't post it to the subreddit. Here's a VPN, and I'm going to let other random people on the internet connect to it. That's a great idea. You're now responsible for everything that person does.
Obviously, it would make more sense if you know that EC2 account wasn't tied to you. Use fake info, fake credit card, or whatever. I don't know what you need to sign up.
So if you're going to do it, what you want to do is you want to go on Google and do site://pastebin.com/Visa. Okay, I'm Friday kidding. Night. Anybody who
I got
does
something
that,
to do.
Anybody who does that, don't use those cards you find. Don't do that. It's not a good
idea.
Not
the ones that have been up for a week at least. You know, make sure you get the fresh ones.
Yeah, that's actually... if you're going to set that up, go through Tor. I'm just saying, it's not a good idea. I'll bet Tor drives those NSI guys nuts because of the way it bounces around everything.
I'd say they've got something. Yeah, who knows? I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just from an analyst's point of view, I know what a bitch it is to look at Tor node traffic, so... But, yeah, I mean, this thing's kind of cool because he's got the idea of bypassing censorship and all, but his methodology is...
retarded.
I question
Redigitated.
It. I question it a lot. But, hey, there's other people on a subreddit providing free access to their EC2 instances. So, there's that.
Idiot.
Yeah. So, yeah, go on the subreddit and get some VPN logs if you want them. So, of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. We're always looking for new music to add. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. Wow, I've got the old slugs in here, so I get to do this from memory. I Have Nothing on Saturdays. The Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. The Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form, the subreddit, the IRC, which I forgot to open up tonight, but that's okay. I'm sure I'm forgetting some other method of getting a hold of us. I suppose if you're really desperate, make a really big paper airplane and throw it at Sard. So
that would get my attention.
Actually, yeah, you probably don't want to do a really big plane on the United States soil. Just saying that.
Oh, too soon.
Take a drink. I'm on a list.
Yeah.
That was probably a threat.
I'm just gonna hit play on the music now.
Pray for the best.
Bad guy. the lights, tell me everything is gonna be alright, and I'll pretend until the end that I don't feel like a bad guy. Lock the cords, turn out the lights, tell me everything is gonna be alright, and I'll defend until the end that I don't feel like a bad guy, bad guy. Lock the door, turn out the lights, tell me everything is gonna be alright, and I'll pretend until the end that I don't feel like a bad guy. Lock the cords, turn out the lights, tell me everything is gonna be alright, and I'll defend until the end that I don't feel like a bad guy, bad guy.